Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 14.
It says here in verse number 19, "For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God." When God says, "I'm crucified with Christ," this is spiritual talk. When Jesus spoke in John 6 of eating his flesh and drinking his blood, that's spiritual talk. He obviously wasn't talking about cannibalism. So it takes a spiritual mind or a saved Christian to look into what he's saying. And here when he says, "I'm crucified with Christ," that was 2,000 years ago. Then this is obviously a spiritual thought, a spiritual truth that he's trying to get across. If I only had one sermon to preach to a crowd of lost people, I'd preach the gospel. And if I only had one sermon I could preach to a crowd where most of the people were saved, it would be this sermon this morning. It'd be this truth that I have not yet mastered. I'm so glad I don't have to master a truth before I preach on it. I need to practice it. I need to put it forth into practice in my life, but I can't. If you had to master it before you preach it, I could never preach on the holiness of God. I'm not as holy as God. I work at my holiness, but I have a lot to learn. I could never preach on being Christ-like because I'm not. I'm working at it, but I'm nowhere close there yet, right? This is a truth that I'm going to preach to you this morning that I have not mastered, but it helps me in my Christian life, and I want it to be a help to yours. When you look at verse 19, it says, "For I through the law am dead." I am dead. According to this verse, I'm not supposed to be here. I was crucified when Christ was crucified on the cross 2,000 years ago. It's what it says. I am crucified with Christ. You say, well, this is the Apostle Paul. Paul wasn't on the cross with Jesus either. This is spiritual talk. This is spiritual talk. According to this verse, you aren't supposed to be here right now. This will make more sense to you here in a little bit. Jesus Christ is supposed to live through you, but that only happens after you die to yourself. You have to have a death as he had a death. In this passage in Galatians 2, the Christians are being saved in Antioch. Peter comes up there. He's been preaching, and Peter's the apostle to the Jews. Paul's the apostle to the Gentiles. When Peter sees the Jews start to come around, these Gentiles who've been saved, Peter starts treating the Gentiles, the brothers and sisters in Christ, differently. He starts going, we don't want you all eating at our table. Eat over there. Because up until the New Testament, Jews didn't eat with Gentiles. They were heathen. The word Gentile means heathen, means pagan, without God. We were called dogs. As a matter of fact, a practicing Jew still calls us Gentiles, we're dogs. We're to them. Amen. We're dogs to them. Spiritually, we have no value to a Jew. Praise God. Here, Peter starts treating the Gentiles that got saved differently because the Jews are around and he's interested in his image. And it says, Paul got in Peter's face, two apostles. And Paul said, "Peter, you know better. You know better." And he says, "If I build again that which I destroyed," he said, God broke down the Old Testament Judaism when Jesus died on the cross, and you're building up that wall again. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile now. And Peter was submitting to peer pressure. Oh, what does everybody think? Here, you Gentiles, eat over there. You eat over there. Us Jews will eat here. And Paul wonderfully gets in Peter's face and corrects him. I like this story. Now, the answer to the peer pressure is at the end of this passage and realizing that we're dead in Christ. Here, take your Bible and go to Romans. Go to Romans chapter 6. We'll come back to Galatians in a little bit. Go to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. The name of the sermon is called Die to Self. Or you could call the sermon How to Really Live. I call the sermon Die to Self, because that's what helps me. I think you'll understand it here in just a minute. Watch this. Look at Romans chapter 6. Look at verse number 4. "Therefore, We are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Verse 6. Knowing this, watch, that our old man is crucified with him. There it is again. In Galatians 2 we read, I'm crucified with Christ. In Romans 6, verse 6, it says, our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. So something happened 2,000 years ago when Jesus died for my sins. Yes, he died for my sins, but he also took my sin nature on him on the cross when he died. How was I crucified? Yet this isn't the only reference God makes to being crucified with Christ. There's three of them. How did that happen? My old man, my sin nature was crucified with him. This morning, I'd like you to think with me as we go into this truth of dying to self. The Christian life is a paradox. How you live it. We're not supposed to live like the world lives, dog eat dog and whoever you can step on to get to the top and just be a success at any cost and kill them all and let God sort them out. That type of thinking we're not supposed to bring into the church with us. That is the way the business world thinks. Be number one at all costs and whatever you have to do to get to the top, the end justifies the means and all of that. That's the way they live. When we come to church and we're in a church community, Jesus told us how we're supposed to think. The way you get isn't by taking, it's by giving. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure pressed down, shaken together and running over shall men give into your bosom. Listen to this. The way up in the Christian life is down. If you exalt yourself, Jesus said you'll be abased. But if you abase yourself and humble yourself, Jesus says God will exalt you. That's why the way up is down. You see how our thinking when we come to church, how we make it as a successful Christian is different than the world. You can't bring that into the church. I understand that. That's the business world. But here Jesus said as a child of God, we're to think differently. So the way up is down. You find your life by losing it. Whosoever loses his life for Jesus' sake finds it. I call our church a community, in our way of thinking with each other, you're made a leader because of how you serve. Whoso is great among you, let him be your servant. Right? Not who trembles in the room when you come in. Oh, they're here. Your strength as a Christian is determined by how many people can you help. That's how Jesus said, measure greatness. Your ability to serve and help. That is how we do it. And this truth comes into place. In the Christian life, you only live the Christian life when you die to self. See the paradox? Seems like the two don't go together, but it's how we thrive. Many truths like that. This isn't a positive truth this morning, dying to self. It's the biblical truth of surrender, but it's from a different angle. In our society, everybody's a victim, and it has to be somebody else's fault. But in the successful Christian life, you have to die to grow spiritually. You have to die to self. The gospel, if you think about it, is 2/3 negative. What's the gospel? The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Death. Ugh, nasty, bloody, burial, morbid. What's the third part? Resurrection, victory, great. The gospel's 2/3 negative. You don't get to the positive till you go through the negative. No, this is a message on a negative aspect of our Christian life, but it is how to succeed. You're in Romans 6, go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. So when Jesus was crucified on the cross, because I've trusted him as my Savior and I'm a saved child of God this morning, I was crucified with him. If you're saved this morning, you were crucified with him. Let's see if we can add some more to this. Look at verse 3. Romans chapter 8, verse 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son, watch this, in the likeness of sinful flesh, comma, and for sin, comma, condemned sin in the flesh. I understand the for sin part. God sent His Son to die for my sin. I understand that. It's the first phrase, in the likeness of sinful flesh. There, I think I can understand the crucifixion and me being crucified with Him. When Jesus died in the likeness of sinful flesh, He took my fleshly weakness and He crucified them in His body on the cross. Listen closely this morning. Jesus took all the reasons why I think I can't live the Christian life and He crucified them on the cross. Well, I'd be a good Christian if it was put on the cross when Jesus died. Well, yeah, but you got to understand my past and my way of thinking is, no, you were crucified with Christ on the cross. The only reason you're not a better Christian is because of you, not because God didn't do something for you that He did for everybody else when He died for you. He did the same thing for all of us when He died. Aren't you glad? Everything you have that's wrong with you was crucified on the cross with Christ. We've read that several times. He died not just for your sin, in the likeness of our sinful flesh, He died also. That tells me this. My biggest problem this morning is me. It's not somebody else. Amen? Do you know when you change in the Christian life? Is when you quit making excuses. When you quit blaming others. Do you know when you get saved? You don't get saved when you realize Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. You get saved when you realize Jesus died for you. When it's you, personal. It's not a group hive mentality. Amen? It's individual. And the same thing is, you grow in the Christian life when you quit making excuses and you start saying, you know what? I'm my biggest problem. I'm my biggest problem. I need to quit making excuses for me. Because everything that I use as an excuse, Jesus died for on the cross. You're in Romans 8. Can we go to Romans 7? Go back one chapter. Go back one chapter. Look at verse number 21. I find then a law. Look at verse 21. Romans 7, 21. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Let me just stop there. There's a part of me that likes the Bible. There's a part, I delight in the Bible, in the law of God. There's a part of me that likes it. There's a part of me that likes coming to church. But look at verse 23. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Look, this is God's using the greatest Christian that has ever lived. No one's done what the Apostle Paul's done. God's using the greatest Christian to pen this. And if he can say, as a child of God, I've got this battle going on in me. There's a part of me that likes going to church, and there's a part of me that hates it. There's a part of me that likes the Bible, and there's another part of me that can't stand it. This is the greatest Christian that's ever walked the face of the earth. And if he had it, I promise you, every Christian has this to some degree. To some degree. Watch this. It's warring in. Watch this. Look at verse 24. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? So his cry as a Christian, dear God, I want to be a better Christian. But I am carrying around a body of death. Here's the illustration. The Romans were known for their cruelty. They're the ones that devised, took them about 300 years, but they devised crucifixion. To crucify someone on a cross was the slowest, most painful form of death. It normally took 3 days. It took Jesus 6 hours because they whipped him before. But it normally took, a man normally hung on the cross 3 days, and it was a horrible. It was specifically designed by the Romans. Well, that's not the only thing they devised. They also came up with a way of, if a depended on the circumstances, and they didn't do it to every murderer, but there are cases where when a man murdered, someone, the victim's body was tied to the murderer. And then they were put in a cell, and they weren't, then as the body decayed and the death and the bacteria, it went into the body of the murderer. You talk about a slow, nasty death. The Romans devised that, just like they devised crucifixion. And Paul is making a reference to that. God is using Paul to say, I feel I want to grow as a Christian, but I feel like I have this stinking body of death on me. And what keeps me from growing spiritually is this stench of death that's everywhere. In my Christian life, he's talking about it. Do you see the cry there? He says, oh, wretched man that I am. Dear God, I want to live for you, but I'm held back by this corpse, this body of death. When you talk to every Christian, we all feel the weight of this sinful flesh. One day when we get to heaven, we'll be free from it. But right now, we have to deal with it. That's why we get rewards when we get to heaven. When you get to heaven, you won't say no to sin anymore. There's no sin in heaven. You won't be, okay, this morning, the battle you had and coming to church, you won't be tired anymore in heaven. Aren't you glad? Whatever you have to do to live for God now, now is the time where we push ourselves, what? Saying no to temptation, saying no to the flesh, living for God. It takes work to do that now, but one day when we get to heaven, it's over. What you went through here on this earth, what you allowed yourself to go through to live for the Lord, will be rewarded. That's how come we're not rewarded. Okay, there's no work like that in heaven. Amen? That's why we go soul winning now. When we get to heaven, there'll be nobody to lead to Christ. Your time to lead people to the Lord is now, right? While we're here, you get 70 years to live for the Lord. 70. All right? Watch this. So he said, the body of this death, can I look at verse just 25 with you? It says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So he's talking about the division. This morning, if I was just to point out to you, your flesh is yourself. Your flesh is self. Take the word flesh, F-L-E-S-H. All right? You've heard me say this before. Turn it backwards. F-L-E-S-H, drop the F and it's spelled what? S-E-L-F. Your flesh is you, yourself, what you want to do, what you like doing. Your flesh is what wars against God. Your flesh is what the part of you that wants to do wrong. Whenever you read the word flesh in your Bible, it is what we're constantly fighting against as a Christian. Our flesh or ourself. Isaiah 53 verse 6 says this, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Here's the definition of sin. Sin isn't when I do what the devil wants me to do. Sin is when I do what I want to do. How about this? Jeremiah 17 verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? God's talking about our heart. You hear all these, you know, when I was growing up, you heard this song, just follow your heart. The Bible tells me not to do that. Whoso trusts in his own heart is a fool. And the heart is desperately wicked. God says, don't trust yourself. Your heart will lie to you. And it's desperately wicked. God teaches me that about myself. In other words, I don't want to trust my emotions to live. I want to trust the Word of God. Romans chapter 7 says this, verse 18. Since you're there, go ahead and look at it. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, or in myself, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me. In other words, I want to do good, but how to perform that which is good I find not. I've got a battle going on as a Christian. Romans chapter 7 illustrates that. Dr. Lee Roberson used to preach two main truths in his church. Had one of the best churches in America. Had Camp Joy, had chapels all over, saw a lot of people saved. These were the two truths Dr. Lee Roberson used to preach.
Jesus is coming. That's right.
Jesus,
that's my Dr. Lee Robertson imitation. Okay.
That's right.
See, he always had a bent finger, okay, like that?
Jesus is coming. That's right.
Then he always would preach,
die to self, die to self, die to self.
That was the two, every preacher has truths that the ministry is built on from the Bible. Those were Dr. Robertson's.
Jesus is coming, and die to self, die to self.
When people come to him, so-and-so, they're bothering me.
You go, die to self, die to self.
So-and-so made me upset with...
Die to self. Die to self.
Die to self. That's where part of this come from. You're there in Romans chapter 7. Look it back at Romans chapter 8. Can I just show you this word flesh so you can look at it here in a little bit? Look at Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 1. They call Romans chapter 8 the victory chapter after you read about your flesh in Romans 7. Romans chapter 8 verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. See the word flesh there? Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Verse 3, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Verse 5, for they that are after the, there's that word again, flesh, or self, do mind the things of the flesh, or their self. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Notice verse 6, for to be carnally minded, carnally. You ever heard of chili con carne? Carnea is flesh. It's the Greek word for flesh. To be fleshly or carnally minded is death. Not sin, death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Romans 8, verse 7, watch this. Because the carnal or the fleshly mind is enmity or war against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. I wish you'd mark verse 8 in your Bible. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. When you're living for self and you're in the flesh and you're doing what you want to do against what God wants to do, you can't please God. Okay, you're there in Romans 8. We were in Galatians. Can you go back to Galatians chapter 5? Go back to Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. Just laying a little bit more groundwork here. Just want to make sure you understand this. Just hitting this truth from this one angle. Galatians chapter 5. Look at verse 16. Galatians chapter 5 and look at verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So the flesh or self is when you lust things. And that's not just talking about sexually. It's talking about, I want this at all costs. Or that's self. Look at verse 17, Galatians 5, 17. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, capital S. And the Spirit, capital S, that's the Holy Spirit, against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. In other words, you'd be a lot more spiritual if it wasn't for your flesh. You can't do all spiritually that you want, because here God says in every child of God, there's a battle going on. And the Holy Spirit's saying, live for God. And the flesh is always saying, no, do what you want to do. Do it your way.
Have it your way.
Did I just date myself? That's an old ad that's not even on TV anymore, isn't it? The old Burger King ad. Okay. I wish they would redo it. I'd like to
do it God's way.
You just have to see Rex on the highway. Okay. So watch this. It says here, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Watch this. Verse 18. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. If you've always wondered what being led of the Holy Spirit is, it's when you give yourself to God to do what God wants you to do and you stop doing what you want to do. It's what we learned in the Christian life. Nobody is 100% filled with the Holy Spirit of God 100% of the time. That'll happen when we get to heaven. For now, I've got a battle going on inside of me. And every day it's me against Jesus. And would you like to know when I have a good day? It's when Jesus wins and I lose. And would you like to know when I have a bad day? It's when I win and Jesus loses. Every day is a battle. That's why every day we're supposed to die to self. Every day you have to make a commitment saying, am I going to do what God wants me to do today, or am I going to do what I want to do? Every day. John 6:63, Jesus said, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The old preacher told his wife, he said, now when you go down to that mall, you don't spend no money when you go down there. Don't you buy nothing. You understand me, woman? Don't you buy nothing. She said, I won't. She said, but you know, when I went down there, I walked past that dress shop. I saw them dressing, and I said, devil, don't you leave me alone. You get off my back. That old devil, he pushed me into that store. I wasn't going to try no dresses on, but that old devil, I said, devil, don't you get away from me, devil. That old devil, he pushed me into that changing room. I said, devil, I ain't putting that dress on. That old devil, he made me put that dress on. Don't you make me look in that mirror, devil. That old devil pushed me over in front of that mirror. That sure did look good in that dress. I said, devil, I ain't buying this no dress. Don't you make me buy this dress, devil. That old devil, he pushed me over that cash register. I said, I ain't writing no check. He pulled that checkbook out and made me write that. The devil made me do it.
That's old. That's from the 60s. I saw that when I was a little boy. As humorous as that is, that's been a statement for the past 50 years.
I didn't do it. The devil made me do it.
This morning, as Christians, as we look in the Bible, can I tell you the truth of the matter? The devil didn't make you do anything. The devil gets blamed for a lot of things he didn't do. You did it all by yourself, by your choice. The devil didn't put a gun to your head. He may have offered it to you, but he didn't make you do nothing. That's a reality check in the Christian life, isn't it? Isn't it? I'm not supposed to live my life my way. Every time I do, I backslide. The Bible says the backslider in heart is filled with his own ways. I backslide whenever I do what I want to do. Jesus said, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. Let me just read these to you, and we'll look at a few things here in just a second. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. I want to know Christ and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, is how I know him. I know him when I die, when I quit doing what I wanted to do. Let me illustrate it now this way. Jesus lives the resurrected life through me as I live the crucified life through him. He died on the cross. His death was for you. That bloody, torturous death on that cross was for your sins. Now that you're saved and you've accepted him as your Savior, he can walk this earth through you if you'll get back on the cross and die. But when you're doing what you're wanting to do, Jesus can't do what he wants to do. He lives through us as we die to what we want to do to ourselves. It's the crucified life. It's the self. It's the dying to self life. It's your job as a Christian to crucify yourself, your desires, your opinion, your will, your appetite. Jesus gave you a new nature when you got saved, a new man, but he didn't crucify the old man. There's a part of you that you're not supposed to respond to. There's a part of you that you're supposed to fight every day. Look at Galatians chapter 5. Ready? Galatians chapter 5. We've been there once this morning. Go back there to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Look at verse 24. Watch this. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another.
God, everybody talks about, oh yeah, you got to walk in the Spirit. You can only walk in the Spirit and do what God wants you to do if you've had a crucifixion. And the Bible says, we individually are supposed to, when I read verse 24, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh. God doesn't say you're supposed to crucify somebody else. God says you're supposed to crucify you. Every day, I'm supposed to die as a Christian. If you think about that, how hard would it be? The cross was a horrible way to die, but God says you do that to yourself. You know, me and my twisted mind, I've always figured, how would you crucify yourself? You know, I could do this nail. But how would you do this one? I thought maybe putting the hammer in my mouth. Now how do you do the feet? Well, maybe I did that in the wrong order. Maybe you do this and then... Okay, now it's... God says we're supposed to crucify the flesh every day. However you want to picture it. When you get out of bed, you're supposed to die to yourself and yield yourself to God. And that you only do what God wants you to do after you've died. This is nothing, there's nothing spooky about this. It was a decision that God used the Apostle Paul to make to live for the Lord. He made a decision to die. Listen to these verses real close, and then we'll try to wrap it up here. John said in John 3:30, when he said, he must increase, Jesus must increase, but I must decrease. John 3:30. In 1 Corinthians 15:31, it says this, I die daily. That's a Christian's job. Our Savior said in Luke 14:27, take up thy cross daily. I've heard people all describe their cross. My cross is my checkbook burden, you know, my credit card debt. No, your cross is where you're supposed to die, and your flesh and yourself and your wants and your desires, you put to death, and you, like it would say in Colossians, you mortified your members. Listen, selfishness is the biggest problem in the Christian life. It's absolutely amazing to me how our digital world does nothing but feed our flesh. Social media is creating a whole generation of narcissists. For the girls, it's social networking. Facebook, Twitter, Tango, Instagram. I have 300 friends. No, you don't. Nobody's got 300 friends. When the creators of Facebook said they don't let their kids on Facebook because of what it's doing to our society, it ought to be a red flag to everybody. Did you hear what I said? The people who work at Facebook said we're destroying our culture. You say, how come? Because if anybody disagrees with you, you just delete them. You never have to deal with negative. That's not life. You don't have to deal with anything. Oh, they disagreed with what I said. Oop, delete. You're not here anymore. Where do you do that in the workspace? That's not life. Nobody disagrees with me. Everybody. And then all they do is they put up these flattering, filthy, or funny photographs of themselves. For the guys, it's the video games. They spend hours reaching the next level, and they really think they've accomplished something, and they're still just as much of a nothing as they were before they started playing the game. It's creating this virtual world where I am somebody in your own head. That's only been around for the past 25 years, everybody. The internet's only been around since, that's why they call it Windows 95, you know, the 90s. Before then, we didn't have this to deal with. Before, there were no snowflakes before, but when I tried out for the wrestling team and I didn't make it, you know how come they said you didn't make it? Because you're not good enough. I tried out for the basketball team. I failed. I didn't make it. You know what the coach told me? You failed because you're not good enough. Nobody was going, oh, you're warping my psyche. If you want to make the team, go work at it and go practice it and we'll try it again next year. If you're good enough, then we'll see if you make it. You can't do that now. Nowadays, everybody's a winner. Everybody gets a trophy for participating. That is not life. You don't get a trophy just because you... No, there's a first place and a second place and a third place. That's life. But this digital world, it's creating a different society. This morning, I'd like to encourage you to take up your cross and follow Christ and die. There's an aspect of dying to self that God teaches us, and you have to do it daily. Nobody accidentally crucifies themselves. It has to be done daily, and it's on purpose. When you live the Christian life in the flesh, you live the Christian life without Christ. You may be saved, but Christ is not a part of your life. I know why you gave your opinion that hurt somebody. I know why you lost your temper. I know why you got jealous, and I know why you got bitter. I know why you got proud. I know why you listened to the wrong music, and I know why you gave in to peer pressure. I know why you cussed. I know why you told the dirty joke, and I know why you sneak around. I know why you got a... I know why you can't stand church. Because you didn't die to self. You didn't die. The opposite of letting Jesus live through you is you trying to live through the dead man that we are. You know what a Christian in the flesh is like? I don't like zombie talk, but it's probably the best illustration. We were dead in trespasses and sins. Now our old man is supposed to be dead if we're living in Christ. But when a Christian says, I'm not going to do what God wants me to do, I'm going to do what I want to do, then they're just like a zombie. I want this. That's the best illustration. You're living the life of a dead man. You're trying to live through a corpse instead of living through Christ. Whether you're focused on the wrong music, or the wrong entertainment, or the wrong friends. The most miserable person in the world is not a lost person. They have no hope. They're without God. The most miserable person in the world is the Christian who is alive spiritually on the inside, but is trying to resurrect the old man to have a good time. This morning, if you're holding a grudge or fighting with somebody, can I just tell you something? You need to die. You know when the hatred stops? When you die. When you die. If you're upset this morning, you need to die. If you're offended this morning, you know when it'll stop? When you die. Look, dead people don't get offended. They don't get upset. If you're dead, if you die daily, if we had a casket down here and a body in there, I could say anything I wanted to it. Your mother wears combat boots. You know what he would do? I know this. I'm not trying to oversimplify it. I'm trying to tell you, if you're dead as a Christian, you don't get offended. Did you hear what they said? Are you dead as a Christian now? You can say anything you want. You can make fun of him. I'm trying to do an illustration here this morning. I am saying you can do anything to a dead man and he doesn't care because he's dead. Christian, you don't get upset at people. You don't get bitter. You don't hate when you're dead. You do it when you're alive, when it's all about you, when you're focused on you. This morning, how do you die to self? Real quick. First of all, learn to say no to yourself. I'll just ask you this question. Do you ever tell yourself no? Learn to walk with God. Learn to walk with the Lord. Number three, I'm going quickly. This is what we call the altar in church. It's the front of the church. In your Bible, everywhere you find an altar, something died. They took the animal, they cut it, they put it on the altar. An altar always represents death. Do you know why we use the altar in church? We have a place to come and make a sacrifice to God of ourself. Sometimes it's not sin. Sometimes it's a burden of a lost one that's not saved, right? It's not. In other words, everybody that uses the altar isn't bringing sin to the altar, but what do? We bring our burdens to the altar to pray, dear God, help me with this. We bring, sometimes it is sin. Sometimes it is. But this is an altar, and we use the altar. From the pew to the altar is a death march. How do you learn to die to self? The altar is important in church. View people conflicts as opportunities to grow in the Lord and the Holy Spirit. Let me give you this illustration. Next time someone tells you something that upsets you, you do have a choice instead of flying off the handle. You could say to them, somebody knows what gets your goat, and they come and they say it to you. Meh, 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 meh. Just look at him and just do this. You know what? You kill me. I'm not going to go off. I'm not going to fly off the handle. I'm just going to die to self. You kill me. You're good for my Christianity. There are people that are like that. Christian, this morning, the name of the sermon is, I'm crucified with Christ. Galatians 2:20, I'll read it. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Could I just ask you a question this morning? Christian, are you dead, or do you need to die to the flesh? The name of the sermon is called, Die to Self. Die to self being crucified. Let's pray. Father, I ask that, Lord, as you've used this truth to help me, please